Let's go to John chapter 17.
No, your guest didn't come through. The prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," etc. That should properly be called the disciples' prayer. The prayer in John 17 is truly the Lord's prayer. And the Lord fundamentally prayed that the disciples and those that believe after him because of their word would be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. And so we're going to read that quickly, I hope.
What verse? What
John 17. Big John. I still can't get over the idea that we've got John Bojo and John Rutledge and all these Johns. I don't know what I would do if there was a book named Oli. I mean, that's just too weird. Let's go to the book of Ken. It's all about eating breakfast.
It'll be a while before you.
It's going to be a while.
These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work." Actually, the word "finished" there is better stated, perfected. "I have perfected the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested, or made known openly, thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known but that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for that for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one," is what it says. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us,
that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You can read the rest of it on your own. But the essence of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is that the disciples may be one in us, so that there is no separation. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that He is always one with the Father. And the only thing that gets in His way is your mind, your judgments, your senses, your ideas. Is that clear to everybody? Now let's go back to where we were the other day, Let's go to John 5:34 first.
This really all establishes the predicate of
the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
This is when Christ is he's just met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and we'll get that later when about word of wisdom when he said thou hast five husbands and that kind of thing. That's not what I want to concentrate on now. Then in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him or asked him, saying or told him, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat or food to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught or anything to eat? And Jesus saith, my meat or my food or my sustenance, my sufficiency, my satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish or perfect his work. Now, nothing about Jesus after his baptism. Are you here?
Where was it? We all got lost.
Yeah, it was just
4:34.
I'm sorry. Well, why didn't somebody say something?
Yeah, you were going blah, 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 like that. You didn't say right now. You just said, see how you are.
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to perfect the work, to finish, to bring it to completion. Now,
what does that mean? Both times now you've been very emphatic about to perfect the work, so we don't think it means something else. Now, what do you say?
Well, because when he said it's finished, he said it's finished, but it means it's far more than that. It is perfected. It is over. It is done. You can't improve on perfection. So that when the scriptures declare that he, by one offering, he has perfected you forever, it means everything. It means finished, perfected, over, done. Good. Hold on to that light in the dark place. So here we are. His only meat, his only purpose is to do the will of him that sent him. Now, how does that contrast with your purpose? If you have any other purpose other than doing the will of the Father, not my will but thine, then you have put yourself in between the oneness that is yours. If you say, well, I have to worry about this, I have to take care of my wife, or I have to take care of my children, or I have to worry about my debts, or I have to worry about this, or I have to take care of that. If you have any of those, I have to do this first. I have to go out there and do that first. Then you have put your idolatry, because that's all that is, between you and the oneness that is automatically yours because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so when I say to you that you can walk without any interruption and be certain that you will see what the Father wants you to do, not in advance, but it'll be because just as Jesus and the Father were one, so are you and the Father one in him. Therefore, you just be. And in being, you will fulfill his will. But if you have your will, your ideas, your purposes, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, you will always have you
in between this perfect oneness. And therefore the gifts of the Spirit, if they operate, they're polluted by your flesh. Am I clear? Your inheritance, it's yours without any effort on your part to be one with the Father. Your only job is to see the stupidity and ridiculousness of your own ideas, your own purposes, your own dreams, your own ambitions. That's why the gospel is always for the failures. Because otherwise you will automatically put God's name on your idols. And so, any operation of the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts and calling of God are given without repentance, He's given them. He's given you the ability to misuse them. He's given the church the ability to misuse them. Even if your idea is, you think, is for the purposes of God. Because your ideas with regard to the purposes of God, are you trying to be God's attorney? If you're trying to have an evangelistic campaign, if you're trying to meet need, if you're trying to do whatever it is, you can have nothing between you and the Father. The perfect emptiness of, by, and again, the only way you can be empty is because you have had the intellectual integrity to push everything to the edge so that you know that there is no fruit, no nothing in you pursuing your own will. Now this is gospel, this is remedial gospel. I mean, this is like a zero class in going to college. It's like you had to go back and learn what you're supposed to learn when you're in high school. Your will, your purposes, your ideas are gone. And so that because of that oneness, then even whatever it is, you say, no matter what the risk is. If it's there, it's boom. It's boom. That's why I keep telling you over and over and over and over to say what's there. When it's there. Not 15, 20, 30, an hour, a day later. Not 3 months later. Oh, this has been troubling me for the last 3 months. Oh. Well, you blasphemous idiot. You've denied the foundation. You've made the perfectness of Christ of none effect.
This speaks loudly about not only me personally, how I've wanted the gospel to work out, but how Trinity, you know, anything we try to create and do just doesn't work.
That's right.
Same thing here. And that's God's mercy that
right.
It doesn't work.
But you've got to see, before you can see it, you've got to see it for you. Flesh is lusting against the flesh. Well, let me describe that further. The flesh is trying to suppress down the Spirit, and the Spirit is trying to suppress down the flesh so that you cannot do the things that you will to do. All right. Everybody got you. Your heritage is perfect oneness with God. So that you never again have to lean on your own arm of understanding. You never again have to figure anything out. You never again have to rely on reward and punishment or cause and effect. You're living in perfect obedience to the Father. Not obedience. Remember, again, I've said this so many times that I don't have any better way of saying this. In the English language, obedience means that if I hear or see something that God says to do, then I go do it. That's not what obedience is in the Scriptures. Obedience in the Scriptures is to hear His perfection under any circumstance that you're in, because Jesus is Lord. so that no matter where you are, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what has happened, no matter what it looks like, no matter how much you despise the actions of someone else, whatever is going on is perfect. And there, if you perceive there is a problem, it never has anything to do with anything outside of you. It only has to do with destroying an idol that you have within you, thinking it should be other than it is. And so that thing that you hate, that thing that's going on that you despise, is an angel of God sent to exhort you. Because otherwise you are denying that Jesus is Lord. Everybody understand that, Jim? But that's why we exhort one another daily while it is still called today. That's why whatsoever is within you has to come out. Because otherwise, some of you are really good actors. Explain what it is. And it's always this. It's you're always afraid at the core that something about you will make you unacceptable. And so whether it's no matter what the most disgusting, and you'll find really scriptural reasons to do this. You'll for not saying it, you say, well, I can't say that to an elder. You understand? Well, I can't. Even the scriptures say don't bring a charge against an elder without two or three witnesses. Well, if you're thinking it, you've already brought the charge.
Where am I tripping up, brother?
Oh, I'm not concerned. That means that whatsoever you're doing in thought, in word, in deed, you're not doing it as unto the Father. You're doing it as unto the response of people. And you can't do it. It doesn't matter. Well, it says I'm supposed to love the brethren. Well, that's you don't love the brethren by love the brethren. You love the brethren by loving God. And the love there is that verb, give breath, importance only to God. Oh, but I'm going to go murmur and talk, and I'm going to do everything I can to find an ally. And I love it when people come to me and says, well, it's not only me that this is bothering, it's this other person also. Choo choo gnaw gnaw, choo choo gnaw gnaw. What's that word in German for the bite of? Huh? It's the bite of the. It's what you do is you're eating the flesh of the other person.
I'm thinking about this, and man's wisdom says, well, I'll not hurt my brother's feelings, or I'll not this, I'll not that. When that wisdom really is saying, I'll save my ass by not speaking.
I want you to think of something. I want you to think, where would we be if I were concerned about your feelings? I'd be any place but here. I don't give a damn if I hurt your feelings. I think that's pretty obvious, right? Yeah. Because I've hurt your feelings a million times.
You might be hurting them right now.
I probably am, because I'm looking at you. Oh, I can't say that to Ken. He just got here. Yeah. Yes, I can. And you should if you see it. That's what it means to exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Otherwise, all of your ideas about way things, even your understanding of the Scripture, will be skewed to justify, I can look down on that person and I can find two or three other people that look down on that person with me, and we can just have a feeding frenzy right there. Boom! So you're not eating the flesh of the Son, you're eating the flesh of the person you're talking about. Everybody understand? I'm surprised that I have any flesh left in my bones. Because I know you guys talk about me without me there. Their only exception to talking about somebody when they're not there is a very sensitive matter, and the elders talk to each other. But that's it. Not to try to hurt that person, but to try to bring them to the point of repentance, or to try to bring them to the fullness of seeing the mystery, the completeness that they have. But otherwise, I promise you, every gift of the Spirit will be polluted by your mind, by the evil one. Let's go back to John 17 a minute, and I want to show you something. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Who is the son of perdition? Well, that's Judas. No, that's you. What? What? What'd you say? Does that look like I'm? I see how my finger is crooked, Ronnie.
But I was told that this one, the finger was going that way.
I am the son of perdition. I am the wicked one, but I'm not alone. I have a whole lot of company. The entire human race. Go to 2 Thessalonians.
First is talking about Judas, isn't it? I mean, not just Judas, but it's talking about him, isn't it?
Well, of course, because he was the only one of the 12 that he lost.
Wasn't his last name Carlson?
But it's also talking about Michael Carlson. You want to prove it? Let's go. Wait a minute, Gary. We need a whole bunch of help here in about 5 minutes. Can you? Okay. All right.
I'll do what I can.
All right. Let's go to Thessalonians. I think 2 Thess, but let me find out. Thessalonians doesn't have enough pages.
Chapters.
Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Okay, that sounds good. How can I then say, well, everything that is necessary could happen in the next breath because of the following? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The same son of perdition that we just read about in Jesus speaking to about Michael Carlson, and the same son of perdition that is talked about in Revelation 13. It's the person whose number is 666, and the only one in the world that has that number is Michael Carlson. No, that's not true. That's the number of all men. 666 is the son of perdition. Is, what do you else call us here? The son of perdition, the man of sin, who opposes. Now read carefully. Listen to this. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You don't show anybody else. But you show yourself that you are God when you sit in judgment. You judge for yourself what is good and evil, what is right and wrong, what's the best way to do it and what's the worst way. Well, this is better than that. Anytime you start that process, I can promise you the son of perdition has been revealed in you, the man of sin, the evil one, the antichrist, the instead of Christ, is risen up in the temple, your body, which is the temple of God. And then you will automatically try to put God's name, because it's not anti against Christ, it's anti instead of Christ.
What happens to him?
What happens to who?
The son of perdition.
He goes to hell for a while, and then pretty soon, when time is no more, he disappears as though he never existed. Same thing that happened to all the sperm cells you released all over the place.
Consumed by the brightness of the Lord.
Consumed by the brightness of his glory. So what I'm trying to get across, and why we've spent so much time on this, is because I can promise you that we can have the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. That's child's play. But the gifts of the Spirit will be polluted by you, if there's any of you in the picture. I can feel the rubber burning, Michael. What's going on?
I can't stop thinking about what to do about the bed, mattress, and
boxes. That was the wrong time.
What bed and boxes? What are you talking about?
Oh, Bojo's mattress and box.
I told you, I'll take it. You don't have to do anything with it.
Good.
Remember when I told you a thousand times, I don't want you to walk through that door if there's anything there. Okay? I want you, when you walk through the door, you leave you behind. You leave cancer behind. You leave breakfast behind. You leave beds behind. You leave children or cares or behind. Because when we come together, we must come together as one person. That's why some of you, I mean, reading, oh, I'm just reading the scriptures. And you're not here. You're not in the same place at the same time. And if you have a significant question about something, then ask it so it benefits everyone. But don't sit there and stew in your own juices. I mean, it's just crazy. You might as well go, you know, go to a movie or something. Right, Jim? All right, anybody else? Succeeding in offending, not offending somebody? All right, can all of us help for a few minutes to get the stuff ready for the yard sale for the kids? You're doing it for the kids. Take it big, guys. Take it big, guys.
Show some footage of starving children.
So starving children need yoga.
All these kids.